Blog Talk Radio.
You have just tuned in to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast with your host, Radio Shepherd. The Watchman on the Wall broadcast is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Good morning, saints, and welcome to the Watchman on the Wall radio broadcast. I am your brother, your servant, your facilitator, whatever you need me to be, I am that. I go by the moniker Radio Shepherd. And today we are once again rallying calling upon all prayer warriors, watchmen, and intercessors to join us, in what we need to do most, and that is to pray. Our solutions to life are found in our calling upon our God. We need to pray. You know, years ago, we, the church, got mad, we got angry, we were belligerent when they took prayer out of school. You know, the devil, because the devil's into leavening. And the devil started to leaven the public schools by taking prayer out. But as Paul says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so now what has the devil been able to do? The devil has been able to successfully not only leaven the public schools, but he's also leavened the church. Prayer, ladies and gentlemen, in many of our churches is gone. Prayer is extinct in many of our churches. The prayer meeting has gone the way of the dinosaur. In many congregations, the prayer meeting has become extinct. And so what happens when prayer is no longer in the church? Well, the church is going to go under. The church can't survive without prayer. How can we go on? How can we possibly think of going on? How can we even delude ourselves into thinking that we're going to make it without prayer, without talking to our Heavenly Father? How? How can we move forward? How can we make it in our pilgrimage if there's no constant yielding to God? We need to yield to the Lord. Why? Because we have many needs of our own, but not only that, we are interceding. We are coming to God on behalf of other people who have real needs, other people who have some real issues, some life issues. Now, God can come to our aid. God can come to our rescue if we do as he said to Solomon. If my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? Shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. Boy, we need some humbling to do. There's some wicked ways that we need to abandon. There's just some saints. We need an entire house cleaning. We need a house cleaning. And the house cleaning begins with each individual house. You're a house. I'm a house. You're a temple. I'm a temple. A temple to whom? A temple to the Holy Spirit. And we need to start cleaning house. Now, I'll clean my house. I'll clean my life. I'll take inventory, I'll take stock, I'll take the word of God, which is a mirror, and I'll stand in front of it and say, okay, all this needs to be cleaned. But you need to do the same. You know, the Isaiah of Isaiah 65 and the Isaiah of Isaiah 62 and the Isaiah of Isaiah 49 and the Isaiah of all of Isaiah, you know, the Isaiah who put watchmen on the wall, that Isaiah needed some personal house cleaning. If you remember in Isaiah chapter 6, after King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord, and I saw the seraphim saying, holy, holy, holy. Then I said, woe is me. You see, before Isaiah became a mighty intercessor, a mighty prayer warrior, a mighty watchman, Isaiah had to do some house cleaning. Isaiah had to do some acknowledging. Isaiah had to look at himself in the Word and say, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I am among a people of unclean lips. See, saints, it's about house cleaning. Again, the Lord said to Solomon, if my people which are called by my name shall do what? Shall humble themselves and turn. Do a U-turn. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we need to do some major U-turns. Major U-turns. And it begins with you and with me. That's the way the church gets turned around. If each member takes responsibility for their life, that's how it all gets turned around. That's how it happens. That's how it happens. But we really need some house cleaning. Woe is me. Can you confess that today? Well, Brother Radio Shepherd, I'm not going to confess that. Then you see you're not humbling yourself. God said, if my people shall humble themselves and turn from the saints, when you get up in the morning, don't each and every one of us need to brush our teeth? Don't we need to wash our face and remove whatever is there that was accrued overnight? Don't you men need a makeover in the morning? Are you going to go to work? Are you going to go to work the way you woke up, without shaving, without brushing your teeth, without cleaning up? Are you going to go to work that way? Nobody goes to work the way they wake up. They shower, they bathe. They put on deodorant, they use mouthwash, they do what they have to do to interact with the public. And so if we do that in the natural, we also need to do it in the spiritual. Every day you wake up and you say, Lord, help me. I'm humbling myself. Lord, I pledge to turn from my wicked ways. Today when I go into the office, I won't be wicked. I won't join in. I won't laugh at the crude jokes. Lord, I am one of yours. Sanctify me in thy word. Thy word is truth. The devil has leavened the church. The devil's leavening has spread. It started in the public schools. And there was an uproar. There was outrage over the fact that they were taking prayer out of the... Well, no one's yelling now that prayer's out of the church. Few people are yelling. Few. And the devil has succeeded in making the church worldly. But we're going to turn it around because we're going to humble ourselves. Yes, the watchmen, the intercessors, the prayer warriors are the first in line to do like Isaiah. Woe is me. Woe is me. I'll be the first. I'll be number one. I'll beat you to the punch. I'll be the first to say, woe is me. Woe is me. Well, saints, let's turn to Mark chapter 1, Mark, the book of Mark, the gospel of Mark, chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading at verse 21, Mark 1, 21. Jesus is starting his public ministry. He's just recruited. He's just brought on board as his disciples, Peter and Andrew, James and John. And so now he's got a small band of students. And we're going to pick it up in the first chapter where Jesus enters a synagogue in Capernaum. We'll take it from there, and we'll go all the way through verse 36. So 21 through verse 37. Verse 37. Let's read.
And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you."
Everyone is looking for Jesus. Everyone is looking for the Lord. Are you looking for the Lord Jesus? Are you looking for him? Well, let me play this hymn, and I'll come back, and we'll begin our study. And the hymn is entitled, "I Must Tell Jesus." Now, the reason why people were looking for Jesus was because they needed to tell Jesus their problems, because Jesus had the answers. Because Jesus was a man of prayer. He was an intercessor. He was a prayer warrior. He was a watchman, our Lord was. In fact, he ever liveth right now to make intercession for us. He's still praying for us. And if he's still praying, then we should be seeking him. The same way, the hurting multitude sought Jesus. They sought Jesus because he was in prayer. He was getting from the Father those things these people that were coming to him needed. He was fetching. He had a list of things he was asking the Father for, not for himself, but for the multitudes that would come and seek him, who needed a healing, an exorcism, a word, a lesson, a pearl of wisdom. Jesus was seeking the Father because he was going to interact with people throughout the day, and he was getting from the Father what they needed. By means of what? By means of prayer. So I want to play this hymn, "I Must Tell Jesus." It's time to pray, saints. It's time to run to Jesus. It's time to tell the Lord what we need. He ever liveth to do what? To make intercession and to fetch those things which you and I need. I must tell Jesus. You know, people in church run to the pastor and say, "Pastor, pastor, pastor, I need an appointment. I need to talk to you. I just." And if you have a wonderful pastor, if you have a dedicated pastor, if you have a pastor who's really a pastor, I mean, God bless you. God bless you. You're fortunate. You are blessed. Because that pastor will talk to you as soon as he can, as soon as his schedule allows, because the need is urgent. The need is urgent. Others are not that fortunate. Others have to wait 6 months for an appointment. Isn't that ridiculous? Oh, it's so ridiculous. It is so ridiculous that you're told, okay, the pastor can squeeze you in 3 months from now. Or the pastor can squeeze you in, mind you, he can squeeze you in 6 months from now. Wow, he must have done a lot of squeezing to squeeze me in 6 months from now. But you see, look at what the hymn says. I must tell saints, before you run to the pastor, why don't you run to the bishop and shepherd of your souls? Why don't you run to Jesus? You know, blind Bartimaeus, when he heard Jesus was around, he began, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Didn't waste any time. He heard. Blind Bartimaeus heard Jesus was in the vicinity, and he went crazy. "Jesus." And they even told him, "Shut up." And he went, "Jesus," the more louder. Jairus, when his daughter was ill, ran to Jesus, broke up a prayer. Jesus was teaching, and he couldn't wait. He said, "Master, I know you're teaching. Forgive me for interrupting you, but my daughter is ill." Jesus stopped the teaching, and he went with Jairus. The woman with the issue of blood, she just pushed her way through the crowd and just grabbed the hem of his garment. See, in some way, some fashion, whether it's just by means of cleaving to the Lord, like the woman with the issue of blood, or like Jairus, or like Barth, in some fashion, you have got to tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I must tell him. Why? Because Jesus is God incarnate. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrow. He knows. He knows what you're going through better than anybody could understand. And he is your Savior. Not only does he save you from sin, death, the grave, and hell, but he saves you from tough situations that come up in life. I must tell Jesus. I must tell him. Here we find in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is just starting his ministry. He's just launching his ministry. And already we can see that his fame has spread abroad. Prior to this chapter, we read that Jesus was led into the wilderness, and he prayed 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted, and he was tempted of the devil. Before preaching one message, Jesus launched his ministry with a 40-day, 40-night prayer and fasting consecration. And all throughout his public ministry, we find Jesus doing what? Doing what? Praying, being intimate with the Father. Jesus said, "Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be." How did he know that? Well, because he lived it. He asked the Father. He sought the Father and knocked on the Father's door, and the Father gave him all that he needed to minister to humanity. And here we have Jesus rising up a great while before day and went to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Not because he had needs or because he had issues with the flesh or because he needed a spiritual makeover. No. Jesus is God, sinless God. But yet he went to prayer to fetch from the Heavenly Father things that he would distribute in the Spirit to those who would come and meet him that day. Notice, saints, notice that Jesus at this point has disciples. At this point, he gets up, according to verse number 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." But notice, he was by himself. A one-man prayer meeting. A one-man. Jesus wasn't discouraged when he went to the prayer meeting and there was only one, him. He wasn't discouraged because he knew that eventually, his students would join him. But, you know, it takes a while for things to catch on. It takes a while for people to get the true ministerial theology. It takes a while. Here in the early stages of his ministry, Jesus is holding prayer meetings, and he's the only one there. Up in the morning, early. Why? Because he's going to minister all day long, and people need things, and he's got to get those things from the Father. And the Bible says in verse number 36, "And Simon and they that were with him sought after him." They were looking for him. Where did the master go? Where did our teacher go? Well, they found him in prayer. They found Jesus in prayer. Now, saints, today, this is today's lesson. Jesus is up early. Are we going to join him? Are we going to show up? Jesus is, the Bible says, he ever liveth. You know that Jesus is holding a continuous prayer meeting? All Jesus does is pray and intercede on our behalf. When are we going to join Jesus? When are we, you see, the disciples, they were his disciples. They showed up for the classroom, but they didn't show up for the prayer meeting. The key is, because, you know, church folk, they love the word, whether the word is being preached or whether the word is being taught. But can we get, we can get them to show up on Sunday, but can we get them to show up for the prayer meeting? Can we get people to show up for 6 a.m. prayer? Can we get people to show up for prayer while it is still dark in the morning? You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is up early. God is up early. And he's waiting for us. But the question is, will we show up to join him in prayer? Will we show up? And Peter says, "Lord, we're looking for you." Because already, while it is still dark, all men seek thee. Why were they seeking Jesus? Because he had the answers. People wouldn't even, they didn't even give Jesus a break. They didn't even let Jesus get a full night's sleep. People are knocking on his door. It's not even sunrise yet. The sun has not risen, and already people are coming to Jesus with their problems. And where is Jesus? Is Jesus sleeping? No. Jesus is up because he knows these people are going to seek him, and he's fetching what they need from God. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we are here on earth in Christ's stead. We are his servants. We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors. And excuse me. And how can we dare minister to people? How can we dare enter the pulpit or get behind the podium to teach a class? How can we dare when we haven't spent 1 second in prayer? How can we minister to people? How can we actually deliver the goods that they need if we have not joined our teacher? Because Jesus is our teacher, as Andrew Murray wrote this book called With Christ in the School of Prayer. How can it be that our teacher is in the prayer chapel and we refuse to meet him? If you're a true intercessor, if you're a true prayer warrior, if you're a true watchman, if you're a true pastor, if you're a true prophet, if you're a true teacher, how can it be that you're willing and you're rushing to go minister to people, and yet your hands are spiritually empty? Why? Because you didn't fetch from God what you needed for the people. People sought Jesus because, as Peter learned, if my mother-in-law has a fever and Jesus shows up, she's going to get healed. In fact, she was just lying down, but when Jesus touched her, now she's making our dinner. You see, Jesus comes to make us whole. But how does he get this wholeness? He gets it in prayer from the Father. And here we are so close to Jesus. We're following Jesus. We're looking at him in action, yet it doesn't register. It doesn't register that everything that he got for the people, he got it by means of prayer. We want to do what Jesus did. We want the multitude. We want to preach. We want to teach. We want the lights on us. We want the cameras on us. But that's not where it all starts. It all starts and ends in prayer. And this is why we are failing so miserably. And the reason being is, Jesus is holding a prayer meeting. Jesus is holding a prayer meeting. Jesus, our Savior, is in the garden waiting for us. And we're no-shows. We're his disciples. And we follow him, and we see everything he does, and we're so blown away that he can preach and teach as one as having authority, and yet can't discern that he gets that power and he gets that ability because he's in prayer. And we want to affect the world, yet we refuse to pray. Saints, it is time to pray. It is time to do it the way Jesus did it. Let me read something to you from E.M. Bounds' book, The Possibility of Prayers. He says, in speaking about the prayer service, he says, this service of prayer is not a mere rite, a ceremony through which we go, and a sort of performance. Praying is going to God for something needed and desired. Prayer is simply asking God to do for us what he has promised us he will do if we ask him. The answer is a part of prayer, and it is God's part. God's doing the thing asked for is as much a part of prayer as the asking of the thing in prayer. Asking is man's part. Giving is God's part. The praying belongs to us. The answers belong to God. Man makes the plea and God makes the answer. The plea and the answer compose the prayer. God is more ready, more willing, and more anxious to give the answer than man is to give the asking. The possibilities of prayer lie in the ability of man to ask large things and the ability of God to give large things. God's only condition and limitation of prayer is found in the character of the one who prays. The measure of our faith in praying is the measure of his giving. Like our Lord said to blind Bartimaeus, according to your faith be it unto you. So it is the same in praying. According to the measure of your asking, be it unto you. End of quote. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to read this one phrase again. The possibility of prayer lies in the ability of man to large things and in the ability of God to give large things. Jesus ministered to multitudes, and not one person in the crowd left disappointed. Why? Because everything they needed, Jesus had fetched from the Father in prayer. It was Samuel Chadwick who said, the great Puritan pastor, it was Chadwick who said this. He says, the devil gets nervous when he sees us on our knees, fetching power from God. Let's get busy, saints. Get serious. Jesus is holding prayer meetings every morning. Now, your church may not be holding a 6 a.m. prayer meeting, but Jesus is. Because it says in the text, Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He rises up early in the morning, and he waits to see who will show up. Are you one of his? If you are, you ought to be going to his prayer meeting. They may not be having one in your church, but Jesus is having one. And you can join him. And I can assure you, you will not be disappointed with the results. You're not going. You see, again, Ian Bounce said, the possibility in prayer lies in the fact that we can ask for large things from God, and then it is his ability to provide those large things. Put God to the test. Put them to the test. Go fetch what you need from God for those you minister to. Is it a healing that they need? Is it a word of wisdom? Is it a gem of knowledge? What is it that the folk you're ministering to need? Whatever they need, God the Father has it. And all you need to do is go seek him in prayer for it. For he says, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock on the door and it shall be open unto. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. I want to close this broadcast with the hymn, Did You Think to Pray? Now, remember, saints, that this ministry is a ministry of Love Remnant Tabernacle Church, and we need your love gifts. We need your support. Not only do we need your prayerful support, we also need for you to partner with us as we are intending to expand this year and to provide more of the word by means of other broadcasts, other featured broadcasts. that are designed to minister to a specific area and need in everyone's life. So join us. Partner with us. Say, I'll stand by Love Remnant Tabernacle Church. Stand with us, saints. You can do so by sending a donation via PayPal, or you can do so by sending your donation in the mail. Love you in Jesus. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow as I come on the Inspirational Psalmist broadcast. And don't forget, tomorrow we'll be finishing up on our series on Barnabas. God bless you, saints. And remember, here's the question. Did you think to pray? God bless.